Praise be Jesus and Mary. My dear brothers and sisters, in today's Gospel, our Lord speaks to us of love, of supernatural charity, the love with which God loves us by becoming the Son of Mary, God becoming man, and sharing himself with us and giving us the ability to return that generosity by loving God and one another with his own love, the love with which he poured himself out on the cross for our salvation. Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus says, and he has loved us from the cross. But as he speaks of this divine charity, he also wishes us to experience the fruit of that love, which is joy. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Christ's joy is in us when we are able to love God and one another with his own love, with the love of the cross. And it's brought to perfection, that joy is brought to perfection when we carry our cross with great generosity. Today we celebrate the Feast of Our Lady's Seven Joys. This is a Franciscan feast, one which is related very closely to the spirit of St. Francis. St. Francis is known probably more than anything else for his poverty, his love for poverty, and the fruit of that poverty was joy. And we're really talking about the same thing that St. John is recording in the Gospel today. The fruit of charity is joy. The fruit of poverty is joy. Why is that true? Well, for St. Francis, it wasn't a love of misery. It wasn't a love of simply being deprived of things. It was that Jesus Christ became poor for our sake so that we might become rich. He poured himself out in an act of love so that we might benefit from salvation. And so St. Francis wished to imitate the poverty of Jesus Christ, and he chose to have nothing of this world so that he might experience the fullness of God's love. He gave up everything in this world so that he might possess God in all his fullness. He realized that the things of this world were nothing in comparison to the love of Jesus Christ. And so he chose Christ over everything else because God had given him this tremendous grace to do so. So joy becomes a particularly Franciscan characteristic, and we should understand this as very important to the life of grace, the life of union with God, which is characterized more than anything else by charity, by love. It's the measure of our spiritual life. The saints tell us where there's no joy, there's no charity, because the fruit of charity ought to be joy. No matter what else is happening around us, if we have God, if we are living in union with him, we can endure all things for love. And because love is present, there is also the consolation of joy. Not necessarily the ha-ha kind of joy that people have at parties, but the joy that is able to transcend the particulars of the present moment and experience the love of God and the stability and peace that comes from the possession of being possessed by God and possessing God himself. The story goes that that this feast came about because there was this brother by the name of James in the 15th century who had a great devotion to the Blessed Mother and used to take to a wayside shrine of Our Lady flowers every day. And this is, in a way, part of the way he found his vocation to religious life. And so he joined the friars. And then he realized, because of the customs of the friars and the life of obedience, that he wasn't able to do that anymore. He had another form of life that he had to follow that precluded his ability to get flowers for Our Lady every day and take them to her shrine. And so he had serious doubts about whether he could remain within the order, because apparently he had taken a vow or made a promise to Our Lady that he would honor her in this way. So he was praying in front of a statue of the Blessed Mother one day, and Our Lady appeared to him, and his novice master saw him praying and was able also to see what Brother John was seeing, which was Our Lady was weaving a crown out of flowers, and when she was finished, she put the crown on Brother John's head. And the novice master asked John about this afterwards, and he explained it to him. And so this is how the custom of praying the seven joys, this apparition, this devotion of Brother John, was translated into the veneration of Our Lady's joys as a kind of crown and chaplet. So very closely related, you know, it's very similar to the five joyful mysteries that comes from the Dominican Rosary and, of course, is prayed throughout the Church. The Franciscan crown are seven mysteries of Our Lady, and attached to the seven mysteries are seven Hail Marys. The mysteries are the joy, the Annunciation, the Visitation, the birth of Our Lord, the adoration of the Magi, the joy that Our Lady received when the Magi, the wise, came and placed their crowns before the Lord, the finding of Our Lord in the temple, and then the resurrection, but in the sense that the Franciscan tradition and also the Ignatian tradition, for that matter, is that that after Our Lord's resurrection, Our Lady appeared to our Lord after the resurrection appeared to Our Lady for the first, before anyone else, before the women went to the tomb, before our Lord appeared to Mary Magdalene or to anyone else. Our Lord went to Our Lady and showed his resurrected body to her, and so she experienced this joy. She who had been faithful to Jesus in a manner in which no one else had been faithful, because she stood in complete solidarity with him at the foot of the cross, was rewarded with this grace of seeing Jesus after his resurrection before anyone else. So that would be the sixth joy of Our Lady, and then the seventh is the Assumption and Coronation of Our Lady in heaven. So this was a manner of cultivating Franciscan joy and doing it under the patronage of Our Lady. This should also remind us of what true joy consists in, as I began relating it to charity. You know, there are these moments in our lives where God's intervention, his providence, his presence, the way he manifests himself to us, gives us consolation and joy. We know that he's there, and sometimes these moments are far and few between, but they come not too soon and not too late. You know, God gives us these graces to sustain us in our faith, as he did with Our Lady, trying her and then letting her find Jesus in the temple after he had been gone for so long, rewarding her for her fidelity and solidarity by appearing to her before anyone else on Easter Sunday. These are all graces that we need from time to time. But Franciscan joy is something even beyond this. We turn to Our Lady in these moments of her joy so that she might sustain us throughout our lives, in the times that we have that are joyful, but most of all in the times in which we are called to experience perfect joy. And that is also a very Franciscan thing. It comes from the biographies of St. Francis, in particular, the Little Flowers of St. Francis, where St. Francis is walking down the road with Brother Leo, and Brother Leo is going a little bit ahead of him, and it's on a very cold winter's day, and it's snowing, and they are trying to find a friary where they can spend the night, and they're miserable physically, you know, they are cold and hungry and tired, and from behind Brother Leo, St. Francis calls out and said, "Brother Leo," he says, "if a friar minor were to work miracles, or if he were to be holier than anyone else in the world, and to be able to give good example and show forth the glory of God," he said, "note this well and write it down. that would not be perfect joy. And there's a sort of a litany that goes on. I won't recite the whole thing, but he several times, four or five times, he calls out and he says, you know, note this well, Brother Leo, if a friar minor, you know, were to be able to know everything and have the voice of an angel and the knowledge of all the sciences and to be able to prophesy, this would not be perfect joy. So finally, after this litany, Brother Leo calls out and says, you know, then what's perfect joy, Brother Francis? And Francis says, you know, if we were to get to the friary that we're looking for and knock on the door, and the porter was to come out, we were to say we're here to stay the night, you know, we're brothers of the order, and he were to say, no, you're not, you're scoundrels, you're thieves, and you just want to come inside and steal from us, and then he would slam the door in their face. He says, if we were to be able to accept this with resignation and peace and with humility and rejoice in the goodness of God, he said that would be perfect joy. And he goes through another litany about how bad it could get. And ultimately, the porter comes out and beats them with clubs and leaves them half dead in the mud and the snow. And Saint Francis says, even if that were to happen and we were able to accept these things with joy and resignation, he says that would be perfect joy. And he concludes this little discourse to Brother Leo in the following manner. He says, and now hear the conclusion, Brother Leo. Above all the graces and gifts of the Holy Spirit which Christ gives to his friends is that of conquering oneself and willingly enduring sufferings, insults, humiliations, and hardships for the love of Christ. For we cannot glory in all those other marvelous gifts of God, as they are not ours but God's, as the apostle says, what have you that you have not received? But we can glory in the cross of tribulations and afflictions, because that is ours. And so the apostle says, I will not glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this was another hallmark of Francis's thought and prayer, that really nothing belongs to us except the cross. And this was the mystery that St. Francis wished to embrace in his poverty, which brings us right back to the fact that where there is love, there is joy. Where there is selflessness, there is joy. Where we are able to forget ourselves and entrust our trials and tribulations to the providence of God and the maternal mediation of Our Lady, there we find our true joy, the joy that God wants us to have, the joy that nothing should be able to take away from us at any time. We always struggle throughout our lives with our crosses, but this is what God wants to give us. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the fruit of God's presence in our lives, and we should pray for it. We should beg Our Lady in the mysteries of her seven joys that we might experience her joy, which at the cross, where it's found most of all, is not, you know, it's not the fruit of the experience. It's a choice. It's something we choose to have because we know God is present with us. May we always be aware of the presence of God and the maternal mediation and presence of our Blessed Lady in our lives as we go through life, experiencing things that are joyful and some that are not, but always remembering, you know, note it well and write it down. You know, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is perfect joy. Praise be Jesus and Mary.